ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The Storm trying to seal it with another try. Kick goes up. Kick by Staggs. I think Hughes has sealed the deal. Staggs threw a boot at it, and Hughes dives and scores.
You have to hand it to the Storm. They are rugby league zombies, relentlessly coming for you. Last night, they took a bite out of Brisbane, who lost their skipper to a nasty injury. We're digging into those ramifications in a moment with Zach Bailey. We're also getting a vibe check today from Adelaide as Kelly Underwood gathers us round to hear about the AFL. All of that, plus sound bites. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Zach Bailey is an NRL reporter with the Nine Network. He is here to talk rugby league. Zach, one of the games of the season last night, the Storm edging out Brisbane by 2 points, but perhaps the story is the Broncos half, Adam Reynolds. Another injury. How bad is this one? How significant is it?
Yeah, well, this is the major story, Pat, out of last night's epic match. And it's really concerning. I know when Adam Reynolds left South and signed with the Broncos, a lot of talk was about his durability. Now, last year, he played the majority of the games. He led the Broncos to a grand final. But this year, he's just been hampered by injuries. He was injured in the preseason. He came back a couple of weeks ago and re-aggravated a knee injury. And then there's heavy strapping on that knee last night, just before halftime, an innocuous incident.
Yeah, just tightened up in that first half. Didn't feel too good at halftime, but get back to Brisbane, get a scan and go from there.
You add Adam Reynolds to the casualty ward on top of Reece Walsh, who's the whiz kid and their spark in attack, and Payne Haas, arguably the best prop in the game. Their three biggest names are sidelined, coming off, as I said, a big year last year, grand final. The hangover is real for the Broncos, and they've lost some key players from last year. So they've got to go through a really tough period, and they need Adam Reynolds to be fit ASAP.
Looking to the rest of the weekend, I'm fascinated by the Dragons taking on the Knights tonight, particularly with all the noise around Zach Lomax and his desire to get out of St. George Illawarra. How do you think they'll cope against the boys from Steel City?
Yeah, this is a big game for both clubs. They've both been hot and cold so far this year. Shane Flanagan, at yesterday's press conference, he said, "I don't want to hear the name Lomax again." So people were saying you're number two or you're number five or you're winger. So it was quite comical. He's put the line in the sand and said that Zach Lomax won't be leaving this year.
We'll just move on. As I said, Zach's here for the rest of the year, and hopefully this is the last time we speak about it, because, you know, this is not news. As I said, I know you've all got jobs to do, but this is not news. This is been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and all the people I talk to are dead set sick of it, and so am I.
There's so many times we hear that from one coach and a couple of weeks later a player is gone. The only way that Zach Lomax won't be at the Dragons for the rest of the year is if they get a good player in return, and the only club that would probably allow that is the Eels. So he met with Brad Arthur during the week. We're going to speak to Brad Arthur today to hear his thoughts, but Zach Lomax, hopefully he performs for the Dragons.
And out the back it goes to Bird. Links up with Lomax, and this time they won't be denied. And the Cowboys have just given up. Oh, I tell you what, Todd Payton will be filthy with that.
And hopefully we have an answer soon on his future so both clubs can move on.
This weekend, Daly Cherry Evans becomes the games record holder for the Manly Seagulls. It's insane to think that he nearly left the club for the Titans. That just feels like a weird dream. Do you think the men in maroon can mount a challenge on the competition benchmark that is Penrith?
Well, they were awful, absolutely awful last week against the Dragons. That's their own words.
Yeah, forced quite a few errors. So, they were deserved winners. And it was probably second by fair distance, to be fair.
It's a huge game for Manly, as you said, up against the Premiers, who they really took it to last year. They came up with some trick tactics, and no doubt the emotion around Daly Cherry Evans' record-breaking game will be their forefront, so that they'll really want to win for DCE. He said earlier this week when I spoke to him that he wants to play on beyond the end of his contract, which is at the end of 2025.
I feel like it's got, you know, a few more years left in it, but again, like, I'll definitely be guided by my performance, how my body feels, and I guess sort of where the club sees me.
Then Cliff Lyons, I interviewed him yesterday, whose record is being broken. He said DCE's got another 100 to 150 games in him, which is huge. And coach Anthony Seibold spoke to us today, the media, and said not only can DCE play on, he wants him to play on.
Yeah, you know, we'd like to keep him going. You know, he's got next year. Yeah, we haven't had a conversation with him, but look, yeah, I'd love to, you know, love him to finish his career at the Seagulls, and you know, if he felt like he could go another year, like, you know, I'd be all for it.
That'd take him to 37 in 2026. Cliff Lyons played until well into his 37th year. But you know what? A lot of people said last year was the best year of his career. He's not slowing down. He's a Queensland captain. He's still an incumbent Kangaroo. Who's to say Cherry can't play on? But as you said, their immediate focus, beating the Panthers, probably a wet and soggy Brookie Oval on Saturday afternoon.
Going to be a cracking round of rugby league. Zach Bailey, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Pat.
Kelly Underwood is in Adelaide to call the action from Gather Round. Did we mention Offsiders is also broadcasting from the SA Footy Festival? It is. Kel, can you give us a vibe check from the streets of Adelaide right now?
Well, it's just picked up, Pat, from where it left off last year. Full of momentum, just is picture perfect, to be honest. The Premier rolls out the welcome mat here, Peter Malinauskas. He knows how to work a room. He knows how to work the media.
You won, Butts. No, we're pretty confident about back-to-back premierships this weekend.
I was thinking about it last night. I thought, where in the world would you get fans of opposition teams all in the one location mingling with this great sense of spirit and camaraderie? I mean, you know, you think of what they have to do with football fans over in the UK, where they put them in separate segregated areas, and, you know, even the FIFA Women's World Cup. It's just got that real great sport, bringing the community together, party vibe, atmosphere. And Adelaide has done everything right. It feels like the perfect place because it's, you know, so many Victorians are obviously in the middle of, this is the middle weekend of school holidays, so they're driving or flying over with their kids. The clubs are training on suburban grounds, making their players more accessible. And it means kids in school holidays can just have this great access to their football heroes. So perfect time of year. The weather's going to be sensational over the next 4 days. It's only round four, so every single team's still got hope attached to their season. Yeah, they really do a great job.
Talk to us about last night. The Crows, they're zip four now. History tells us that season over in all likelihood. How is that being received on the ground by the locals? Is there a sense they might have gone early in recently giving coach Matthew Nix a new deal?
Yeah, look, he is a good coach. He knows how to coach, so they won't. It's not panic stations.
We'll never give up. We're 0-4 at the moment, but we're in the process. We're looking at how do we get our game back, and I'm mindful of tonight was one of the most frustrating games for us to watch. However, we had some stuff in that was right. We got back to our process or system of how we play footy.
He's done a great job in his 5 years trying to rebuild. I think they've wooden spooners in his first year. So he's had this team on track. Look, did they believe some of the hype over summer where it was a goal umpire's error that cost them the chance to play in September? So this is a team that believed, well, we should have really been there. It was an umpire's fault. And many believed, if you dig deep on their stats, that they could have caused some upsets in September as a young team with nothing to lose, and suddenly they're telling themselves, well, we could have made the semi-finals or we could have even made a prelim. And they come out with some injury concerns to start the year. They've had a tough first month draw and they're 0-4.
And for the Adelaide Crows, their woes set to continue winless through the opening four rounds.
It's not panic stations. Last year was the complete opposite. They had opening night. They kicked 8 of the first 9 goals against the Blues and the Gather Round exploded onto the scene. But for the Crows, it's such a long season, Patrick. I mean, you can't in you know, early April start riding off their year. Their next 8 games, they could probably win 4 or 5. So maybe they're 5 wins from their first 12 rounds. And the last couple of years show us, because the season is so much longer now, we've seen teams like the Giants and the Blues last year get on this mid-season roll. The Cats the year before, I think they won something like 12, it might have been 16 in a row to win that grand final. So it's not all over and it's not all doom and gloom for Adelaide. They've got injuries, they're badly out of form. It will turn. The question is, will it be too late to make the 8?
On the Demons, why do you think they've been able to shut out the noise and the constant controversy that surrounded them pre-season into the season and get it done on field?
Because of their on-field leaders. Their on-field leaders are extraordinary human beings. Max Gawn, Jack Viney, Christian Petrarca, there's a group of them there that understand that this is, there's so much talent in this group, it's just a waste if they claim one premiership, which was played during COVID. So I think there is a real understanding here. Hey, let's block everything out. They have the ability to do that. Clayton Oliver is their troubled star who they've been able to really get around. You can see the body language on the field. They're right behind him, urging him on at all points. And if you believe the club, he's got his life back on track.
What we see from Clayton is he's had such a tormental little period, but he's running into 50, going in for goal, and he passes it off to Jacob. He's still playing that selfless role. I think that's the player we got, and I'm excited for the best version of Clayton this year.
And they've got the talent. They've had the talent. It's just been, they were out in straight sets last year. I think they went out in straight sets the year before. So it's just been a mental thing. I think they've really just knuckled down. And as I said, they've set the tone. They've said, right, we're here. When many thought that they would crumble and miss out on top eight this year, they've been able to galvanise themselves and say, right, we've got the world against us and we're going to show that we are here for top four. So, again, long way to go, but they've had some very big wins, four in a row now, and they go back to Melbourne and looking good.
Catch Kelly Underwood and the team on Offsiders Talking Sports Sunday from Adelaide. Kel, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Patrick.
Time for sound bites. The Premier League title race is hot. And Man City manager Pep Guardiola had what politicians would call a, quote, robust conversation with his player Jack Grealish after the draw with Arsenal. Wait till he got to the journalist who asked him why he chose to have that moment in public.
Yeah, I do it for the cameras, for my ego.
I know you don't do it for the cameras. I'm just asking you what you're thinking is why it's important to get that message in that
No,
moment.
I'm the famous person of the team. And I don't recognize, and I need the cameras to my ego go to sleep with incredible satisfaction. So that is the reason why. So always I try to criticize the players there and let them feel that how bad they are. And especially when Erling scores three goals, the compliment has to be with me, not with them. That's why I use the cameras to do it there. So my advice next time, don't film us. It will not be a problem.
Okay. In case you missed it, the New South Wales government is seeking to cut popular Moore Park golf course from 18 holes to 9 in order to create more parkland for local residents. Why is this relevant? Because Hollywood star Mark Wahlberg has joined the fight against the plan.
Hey everyone, especially in Sydney, Australia, Mark Wahlberg here. I know I'm not a citizen of Australia, but I am pleading to you, everybody in New South Wales, to save Moore Park Golf Club. It's been here for over 100 years, and it's been giving people hundreds and hundreds of years of pleasure and joy, and just people being able to come out, get a nice healthy walk, spend quality time together with family and friends, and make new friends. Please, I've seen lots and lots of parks. I haven't seen too many lovely public golf courses like this that have access for everybody. Please, save Moore Park Golf Club.
That was an unexpected twist. Unclear if it's going to see the Premier shelve the move anytime soon. And Mackenzie Arnold has talked about her hearing loss and how she's working to be a role model in that space.
The way that my hearing has come about and the way that I've unexpectedly become a role model to these people that have hearing loss and to feel like I'm that person to them that my brother was to me is probably the most rewarding thing about it. Because I know that I couldn't have gone through this journey without him. So to be that person for other people is, yeah, it's very special and very rewarding, and I hope I can just continue down that path.
As if the Tillys goalkeeper wasn't likeable enough already. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Channel 9 and Fox Footy for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.